U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says congressional approval of trade promotion authority is a win for the country, for rural America, and specifically agriculture.
What this does, Jeff, is it creates great momentum now for us to conclude the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We can now tell our negotiating partners that we can have an up or down vote in Congress. We've got our instructions from Congress in terms of what's important to them, in terms of what needs to be in a trade agreement, and I'm confident that we're going to see a TPP where we're going to see expanded market access for U.S. products. We're going to see a better system in terms of sanitary and phytosanitary barriers, a process by which we can strike those down if they're not science-based. We're going to see an explosion of the middle class in Asia. This gives us an opportunity to access that market, and of course we'll also be able to balance hopefully China's influence in that part of the world as well. So a terrific opportunity for us, and certainly would also continue to promote momentum for an agreement with the EU as well. So good time for agriculture.
There was talk in the wintertime and even into the early spring that perhaps you move on with the Trans-Pacific Partnership without the Japanese. If they're not going to participate, then you move on without them. Have they come closer to the table to a deal?
We have been working very, very closely and very, very carefully with the Japanese. I think Prime Minister Abe has recognized the need for some reforms and for a different attitude in the Japanese market. So I anticipate and expect, while the negotiations are not concluded, that we're going to continue to see expanded market access in places that we haven't seen that before. These are always very difficult. There's 1,800 line items being negotiated in the agricultural section of this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, so it obviously is complicated, but I'm very confident that at the end of the day, American agriculture is going to benefit. I'm very confident we're going to see expanded market access in a number of markets, and confident that we're going to see a better system to resolve disputes over sanitary and phytosanitary systems.
Free trade's not exactly an easy sell in Japan. I've been told that with their economy in the shape that it's in, there's a number of their folks that really didn't want to participate in the global marketplace.
I understand that. You know, when times are tough, when you're suffering a little bit, it's hard to understand why opening up your market to competitive goods is going to be, in the long term, beneficial. But the reality is that this is what spurs innovation. This is what spurs competition. This is what expands choice and options for consumers. And this really drives success, and it drives profits, and it drives expanded economies. We've certainly seen this in agriculture in the U.S., and we're going to continue to see it now with the passage of the Trade Promotion Authority Act and a successful conclusion of these trade negotiations. This is a big, big deal in my view and in the President's view. We obviously worked very hard to get this, and very happy to see it getting signed.
We want to turn the conversation to country of origin labeling, but before we do, while we're still talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, have the Canadians come to the table completely with everything that the U.S. would like to see?
Well, I wouldn't say they've come to the table completely, but I think we have seen some indications recently of a willingness to negotiate more in good faith than in the past. And again, passage of the TPA removes that last excuse that the Canadians have been using to not negotiate in a meaningful and strong way. So now the pressure is on them to come to the table with, again, an offer and a realistic offer in terms of market access in dairy in particular. So we'll be watching that very closely. The reality is they've got politics. We get it. We got politics. They ought to get it. But this is really about opening up markets. It's about opening up opportunity. And honestly, I think when we do that, we all benefit.
I realize you don't have the keys to this vehicle, but with regard to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, now that TPA is done in Washington, what's a reasonable timetable, and is there not some pressure to get this thing before the Congress with the looming presidential elections coming?
Well, I think it's key, Jeff, that we do get these negotiations concluded quickly, and I think that's the intent, certainly from Ambassador Froman and his team at USTR, is to conclude these negotiations quickly. And I think the members who have been negotiating in TPP, I think they're just as anxious to get this resolved, and hopefully the Canadians are as well. So I would anticipate and expect us moving pretty quickly to get negotiations concluded, and then there is a process under the TPA bill that was passed for public review of whatever the negotiated pact is, and then ultimately, hopefully sometime this fall, Congress basically weighing in and hopefully getting the votes to pass it. And that, I think, then creates a significant amount of momentum for a real focus different on Europe. But you're correct. You get in 2016, you get into politics in a more meaningful way. And that will have a tendency to slow things down. So it's important we get it done this year.
How tough will the TPP be in a sell on Washington?
Well, I think in a sense it's both tougher and easier. It's easier in the sense that we'll now be dealing with a document that everyone can see and read and fully understand and appreciate. It's hard to talk about the details of a trade agreement when you haven't seen the details, when you have to talk in sort of general terms. But once you see the benefits that it will accrue to various industries throughout the U.S., and it's estimated this could have a potential impact on the economy of increasing exports by $123 billion, and we know there are jobs connected to those export expansions. We know every time we increase ag exports, it supports 6,500 jobs so for every $1 billion of increase. And if you take a look at what is likely to happen with this, you're looking at billions of dollars of additional trade opportunity for ag. So you're going to be able to talk about specifics. You're going to be able to talk about improvements to market access. You're going to be able to talk about particular industries that are going to benefit, and that's going to make it easier. And there's no question there are folks who are very deeply concerned about this and opposed to it, and we have to, I think, do a better job of educating the American public about the benefits of trade. I think it's too easy to focus on a plant closing or lost job and say that's a result of trade. It's much harder when you're adding several jobs in a small business to basically link that to trade, but we need to do a better job of that.
Are there particular gems in terms of U.S. agriculture that you feel like that with this TPP, these items now finally have an opportunity that could boon those sectors?
Well, I think it's across the board, Jeff. I think if you look at expanding middle classes in Asia that are going to be interested in protein, you're looking at, obviously poultry, you're looking at pork, you're looking at beef opportunities. When you look at the specialty crop market there, also a terrific opportunity, and basic commodities as well. So, I think it's across the board. It's all about market access. The average tariff for ag products coming into the U.S. is 1.4%, but we're facing tariffs on some of our ag products that can be as high as 50, 100, in one case, 240%. So when you see those tariffs coming down on these products, well, you know that's going to make it a little easier for us, so a little more competitive for us. So, I think it's across the board. I don't think there's any one particular area that's going to benefit or not benefit from this.
Still on the same topic, now that TPA is law, will this change the nature of negotiations with TTIP with Europe?
Well, I think it gives them an indication that we are serious about trade in this country and serious about negotiating good trade agreements, that Congress has basically had its say about what's important, and they should obviously be listening and have listened to that debate. It is important that we resolve the biotech issues, the geographic indicator issues, pathogen treatment reduction issues involving poultry that are currently outstanding. In fact, I'm meeting with the French Minister of Agriculture here in a few minutes, and I'm going to basically impress upon him the need for momentum to be built in these trade discussions by seeing some actions being taken by the Europeans that on some of these issues that have been hanging fire for actually a number of years.
I spoke with Agriculture Minister from Canada, Jerry Ritz, and he said unequivocally that the U.S. is out of time and out of options with country of origin labeling. 300 members of the House said repeal it completely, and the Senate is discussing whether there should be some form of it left or repeal.
Well, first of all, I think there's still uncertainty about precisely what type of damages the Canadian producers have indeed suffered. We're of the opinion that the Canadians and Mexicans perhaps have overstated the extent of alleged damage, and so that issue still has to be resolved. So in that sense, there is still time, if you will, in terms of determining precisely how serious the retaliation could potentially be. But I think it is correct to suggest that the solution to avoid retaliation does lie with Congress. They have several options. And honestly, I don't see why we would not be able to get something done that basically responds to the WTO by saying segregation of livestock is not going to be required, but also gives producers, if they want to voluntarily participate in some kind of process that verifies that the animal was born, raised, slaughtered, processed in the U.S., to give consumers that information. So I know Senator Stabenow is working on something. Senator Roberts has at least indicated a willingness to be open to listening to that idea, and hopefully they can figure out a third way here so that we satisfy the Canadians and Mexicans, don't get the retaliation, and still be able to give producers who want the opportunity to tell consumers something's been made and processed in the USA that to do so.
On one side, you want to be a good WTO player. You want to make sure you're operating by the rules. But on the other, you don't want to let another country dictate how your policy should be.
That's right. And you know, honestly, you want consumers to have the information that they seek. You know, I can tell you that every time I pick up an avocado, I don't have any problem knowing that that avocado is from Mexico because they put a label on it. And it seems to me that if I'm buying a steak, I ought to have the same opportunity. But to be able to do that and be WTO compliant is difficult. That's why it probably has to be some kind of voluntary mechanism.
The decision before the U.S. Congress now is whether to completely repeal the COOL law or find an amended program that will satisfy other WTO trading partners. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.